The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, Shavua Tov, how are you?
Shavua Tov, Howard, and I see my attempt to send you some rain has worked, apparently.
Yeah, well, can you hold back now a little bit, if you don't mind?
It's
Wow. This afternoon has been absolutely insane here in Johannesburg.
Well, this is why you needed a little namaste, to be a little more relaxed and zen-like.
Exactly. Look, no one's ever called me relaxed, and no one's ever called me zen-like, I have to tell you. Talking of which, nor have they called the Poles that. The lots of controversy around this Polish law and the Holocaust. I asked our listeners, a couple of people have weighed in on it, for anyone who has just tuned in. What are we talking about? The Polish government is trying to outlaw the phrase Polish death camps, because they believe the word needs to be Nazi death camps. Poland was attacked and conquered during the war, so they believe they do not hold responsibility for that. A lot of our listeners saying actually they were complicit, the Poles were just as bad. What is going on with this story, really?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we heard from Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu, who said that this is an attempt to distort or revise our history, Holocaust history. We also heard very, very angry words from the leader of the Yesh Atid party, Yair Lapid, who excoriated the Polish government and said that, you know, this is absolutely fallacious. This is rewriting history. You know, you are forgetting that the Poles, exactly as our listeners have said, were complicit. I mean, if we look at the numbers, 90% of Polish Jewry was absolutely decimated. And who can forget the infamous pogroms, both in 1941 with Jedwabne and the pogrom of Kielce after the war, after the liberation of the death camps, when many Jews came back, or those who had survived, rather, came back to claim their property and were summarily persecuted and many, many murdered in pogroms by the Polish people, who, even though they were occupied and they were conquered by the Germans during the war, they were absolutely complicit. And this is not to take away from righteous Gentiles, because there was a large amount of Polish people who were righteous Gentiles, and it's not to take away from the resurgence of Polish Jewish life today. But, you know, at a time when we are seeing European governments leaning more and more towards the right, this kind of abdicating responsibility for their role in the Holocaust cannot go unanswered. And the latest that we have on the story is that Netanyahu has agreed to meet with his Polish counterpart, Mateusz Morawiecki. They've agreed to hold talks, but it is unlikely that the legislation will not go ahead. They may try and reach an understanding or a changing of the turn of phrase, but it looks like this legislation is going to go ahead.
So a couple of points I'd like to just comment on here. In fact, I was reading this weekend, I'm reading Daniel Cordes' book on Menachem Begin, and of course his earlier part of his life, a lot of it took place in Poland, and you can just see the tremendous amount of anti-Semitism and the environment that he had to grow up in was absolutely startling. And this is way before the Second World War and the fact that it was conquered by Nazi Germany. So I do think that's problematic. On the other hand, I do hear it that they didn't build concentration camps, and they only built concentration camps once the Germans invaded. So I do hear where they would like to come from, but of course what it does by doing that is it whitewashes their history. What is the implication of this law? Because the Polish government certainly can't tell me what to do here in South Africa. If I want to call it Polish death camps, I sure as hell will. Does this really only apply to the written word or the said word in Poland? Because they certainly can't legislate for the rest of the world.
Well, exactly that. They only have jurisdiction over their own country, and I think it would make it illegal for any Pole to refer to the camps as the Polish death camps. But it also effectively almost abdicates those that were complicit with the Nazis of their responsibility and their role during the Shoah. And, of course, the timing could not be more hurtful to the Jewish people, because this is days after International Holocaust Memorial Day. And I know that for us here in Israel and for the Galut or the diaspora around the world, we officially mark our Yom HaShoah coincidentally with the Israeli date, and coincidentally to mark the start of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. I mean, are you going to change that now to a random city uprising?
Or maybe it wasn't an uprising, it was just a very bad fire. I don't know. It becomes absurd that we're living in this world where we have to try and whitewash anything, because sometimes our past is uncomfortable. Let's rather deal with the discomfort of our past. Let's air it. Let's try and work through it, and then we can actually move forward. I really believe, and I've said it a number of times on this show, that a city like Berlin, when you go to Berlin in Germany, there is no whitewashing of the past, whether it's the Soviet, the East-West issue, or whether it's the Holocaust and Jewish issue. The city today deals with and incorporates some of the most terrible horrors of the past, and only as a result of that can this city move forward, can Germany move forward. It's quite astounding that one way that Poland wants to deal with their past is by completely whitewashing it. How successful do they ever think that is going to be?
Well, it's not only that, you know, as time goes by and we lose those precious eyewitnesses, it becomes incumbent on us to make sure that this is a lesson that is taught to future generations. And I really cannot stress it enough. You know, we cannot sit idly by anymore, whether it's regards to Holocaust education or reclaiming our own narrative as far as Israel's concerned, whether it is South Africa, the South African narrative. We need to ensure that our history is taught, it's understood, and I agree with you, we cannot whitewash it. I mean, I look around the world, I look at Bosnia, Darfur, Rohingya, Cambodia, you know, this comes from whitewashing or not taking in the lessons that we should be taking in because of the Shoah. And, you know, the majority of survivors that I've met or heard speak have all said that, you know, we have to understand the past because we have to understand what it's like when man becomes cruel to another man, and we have to ensure that this does not happen again.
Absolutely.
And by abdicating our past or whitewashing it, it's saying, you know, it's not that serious. It didn't happen. We don't have to take responsibility for it.
Bibi is off to Russia to talk about Iran and Syria with Putin. What do you think he's going to say?
Well, apparently what he has said to Putin is he reminded him, you know, we've just marked the Shoah. We need to understand that we cannot allow for the possibility. I mean, we've seen it in Syria as well, and we know that Russia is a supporter of the Assad regime. We cannot allow for the flagrant genocide of people to happen again. Very, very high on his agenda will be the threat that Iran poses by entrenching themselves militarily in Syria. Netanyahu is going to want to reiterate again and again to Putin that we cannot have the situation in the Middle East, given Iran's intention to wipe Israel off the planet. We know that he will also be visiting an exhibition on the Holocaust while he is in Moscow. And he's also going to remind Putin that Russia is one of the signatories of the Iranian nuclear deal, and should this deal go through, what a threat it poses not just to Israel but to Europe and other countries as well. And they will probably talk about the now stalled peace process between Israel and the Palestinians.
Very interesting indeed. And on that note, the EU and Norway have called an emergency session to address this Palestinian funding crisis.
You know, it's quite incredible. They seem to call a lot of emergency sessions on these kinds of things, but when we're seeing the history being revised, they are eerily silent, Howard. There doesn't seem to be a emergency meeting or an emergency meeting about the protests in Iran. However, the European Union and Norway plan to hold urgent meetings of what they call their ad hoc liaison committee in Brussels, and this will take place on Wednesday. They want to address the Palestinian funding crisis in Gaza and the Israeli-Palestinian peace process. And they're very, very concerned with the fact that America is withholding its funding for organizations like UNRWA, and that President Trump has now effectively said that if the Palestinians do not come to the table, to the negotiating table, they could face a complete withholding of their funds from the United States, you know, as it goes. We know that the head of UNRWA, Pierre Krachenbuhl, is trying desperately to try and get financial aid or financial support through various European countries to give to UNRWA. And also on the agenda is they want the Palestinian Authority to resume full control over Gaza. Now, this is a very interesting point because to me it signals that they realize just exactly the severity of the threat posed by Hamas, and that Hamas is actually responsible for the withholding of aid or for creating the circumstances why there is a withholding of aid. Not to say that the Palestinian Authority, having heard Abbas's speech a number of weeks ago, is anything less than disingenuous. However, to the Europeans, if we put ourselves in the shoes of the Europeans, they see the Palestinian Authority as the Palestinian entity with which some kind of negotiation can happen.
Very, very interesting indeed. Finally, before I let you go, Hamas has now barred women from soccer matches.
Well, there you go. I mean, this just goes into what we've been speaking about a lot lately, women's rights, gender equality, marches around the world. I wonder if all those women's organizations that decided they wouldn't attend the LA march because Scarlett Johansson was giving a speech, I wonder if they'll be coming out to march for a woman's right to view soccer, Howard.
Well, it's not only that. Is you see the BDS trying to get involved here in South Africa with the Davis Cup where Israelis are playing tennis, and you know, this is what BDS is supporting, but are silent on the fact that Palestinian women are barred from watching a soccer game by Hamas. Then, you know, not that we don't think they're hypocritical anyway, but it's absolutely astounding.
Can we call this intersectionality, but from our perspective? Because I think that we want to hear from BDS. We want to hear why, when it comes to issues of gender equality and the fact that women had to stand behind a fence. Yes, that stand behind a fence. Apparently, Hamas security guards closed the gates in their faces and did not allow them to go inside to cheer. So, and this was despite there being a women's only section. So, is it okay to discriminate against Palestinian women? I mean,
well,
I see the visuals of these women standing behind fences.
We know it's not okay, but is it okay not to talk about it? Is it okay for BDS and for all the human rights groups, so-called human rights groups, to talk about Israel but not to mention this? Is it just an inconvenient truth that you have to ignore? That's the hypocrisy of it. And it would be incredible, and they would get such a tremendous amount of credibility if they attacked issues on all sides, because Israel can't be perfect, because no country is perfect. And yet, there's never a criticism, and there's never a pointing out of the fact that Palestinians are denied rights by other Palestinians. That's never mentioned.
I think that it's a convenient untruth, Howard, because and again, it just exposes BDS and their supporters for what we know them to be. That is tremendous hypocrites, and it makes them take off that layer of human rights clothing they like to clothe themselves in, because it just exposes them for what they are.
And of course,
anti-Semites who are fixated on Israel.
Well, I mean, you can remove the BDS from it and just talk about the ANC government. The fact that Hamas was invited to the ANC conference, an organization that bars women from attending a soccer match on the basis of gender, whereas the ANC in their Freedom Charter and in the Constitution guarantees the equality for all races and all religions and all genders, is something that should really stick in their throats, because it should really be problematic. But a very inconvenient reality is that there is tremendous amount of gender discrimination within the sector. Unfortunately, Rolene, there we do have to leave it. Time is 5:52. We'll continue this conversation tomorrow. That is the Israel Report, brought to you by the Blue Agency.